Good morning. Again, my name is Robert Gennis, and I represent the appellant, the 45th Judicial Circuit. At its core, this case is about the independence of the judiciary as a separate branch of government. This case asks the important question of who will control the purse strings of the circuit court's operations. This question is important because whoever controls those purse strings controls the circuit court's ability to perform its judicial function. Specifically, this case asks two questions. One, can a circuit court budget for attorney's fees if it's involved in litigation? And two, is $35,000 in attorney's fees a reasonable amount to budget if the circuit court has been and continues to be in litigation with the county commission? Now, when Lincoln County filed its petition for review for the Judicial Finance Commission, and I'll refer to it as the JFC because I get tongue-tied when I say the whole thing, they raised two issues. The JFC only decided one of those issues, and that's the issue of the $35,000 budget submission for the circuit court's attorney's fees. In deciding that issue, the JFC was required by statute and court rule to use five separate factors to determine its reasonableness. And really, there's no controversy about the first four factors, either supporting the budget submission as being reasonable, or they simply don't apply to this type of budget item. The dispute is on the fifth and final factor, and that is whether there was any other separate available source of revenue to pay for these expenditures. Lincoln County claims that it had budgeted in its own budget $20,000 for the circuit court's attorney's fees, and that county budget item was an available source of revenue to pay the circuit court's attorney's fees. Well, the JFC determined that was correct, but that determination was wrong. And it was wrong for two principal reasons. First, if the county never actually makes payment from that budget item when the circuit court submits its legal fees, that budget item is not available to the circuit court. And secondly, if the county has the sole control of the expenditures of that budget item, again, it's not available to the circuit court to pay for its expenditures in the court's operations. And let me explain both of those important points in more detail. First, actual payment. The county commission has never actually paid a legal bill that the circuit court submitted to the county without litigation. Period. You may remember in this court, Lincoln County filed a motion to dismiss this case based on mootness, claiming it had paid the circuit court's attorney's fees in full. When the circuit court showed that that was not true, there were still additional attorney's fees that were not paid, what did Lincoln County do? Did it pay those fees as it maintained in its pleadings in this case that it always intended to do? No, it didn't pay them. In fact, thereafter, Lincoln County has refused to pay every legal bill that the circuit court submitted to Lincoln County. If you're not going to pay money out of that budget item for the circuit court, it's not available to the circuit.
I see two different ways. Which of these ways are you making this argument? One is that in this particular instance, on this fact record, it was unreasonable to say that the money in the county budget was available and it needed to be available in the circuit court's budget. And the other, the other way you could be arguing is that money in a county budget is never adequate. It always has to be put in the circuit court's budget. Because you're talking about particular circumstances, why in this instance you think that was inadequate? Or are you saying overall, because of concern that these kind of situations might arise, it's never okay? And what's your authority either way?
Sure. Both, Judge. And that goes to my second point, and that is the issue of control. Here, Lincoln County has sole control. That's the systemic problem in this case. If the circuit court wants to have money paid out for its expenditures, it has to go to the county, and the county can say, no, I'm not going to pay.
And why can't you then raise that before the Finance Commission if the county does refuse?
The Judicial Finance Commission is a very limited remedy. It only arises on a very short time window at the beginning of the year. So, for example, if we submit the budget and the time period for Judicial Finance Commission filing expires, and say in June you have this issue come up, there is no remedy before the Judicial Finance Commission because we can't go to them. The time period for filing petitions over.
Let's talk about
the only remedy we have is the mandamus action.
Yeah, excuse me, I'm sorry. Let's talk about the standard of review. I know it's de novo, but how much deference should we give the commission's determinations in light of the Cooper County case? and also balancing that with what the statute says, that we do not engage in any close reconsideration of the commission's conclusions with respect to the reasonableness of the circuit court expenditures, and where the basis of such conclusions is apparent from the record.
That is standard, and the differences here, the reason to overturn the JFC, are apparent in the record. That type of deference would be like, well, the copier should have cost $10,000 or $5,000. That's something the Judicial Finance Commission would have determined reasonable or not, should have deference. But here we're talking about a systemic legal issue, and that is who controls the purse strings for the circuit court's operations. If the county's going to have sole control, then the court doesn't have any power or control over its own judicial functions. That systemic issue is a legal issue that you should look at de novo.
So was there any evidence in the record of what other counties do as far as
sure.
who controls this?
There were affidavits filed by many circuit judges who said that they budget for prospective attorney's fees, some much higher than the circuit court did in this case. And really, you need to. If you are expecting to have access to attorneys when the needs arise, you better have it in your budget. And that was starkly highlighted in this case when during the first JFC proceeding on the 2015 budget, during negotiations, the then county councilor told the presiding judge, hey, you don't have attorney's fees in your budget. If you don't agree to our demands, we're not going to pay your attorney, and you won't have any ability to pay them.
If that, you incur attorney's fees to try to get your bills paid for GALs and other things, can that then go in the next year's budget? Because I know just in looking at the decision, mm-hmm. they said they found the potential litigation and expenses entirely speculative. So is that a factual finding that we defer to, or is that a legal issue that future litigation expenses are automatically speculative, as opposed to maybe there wasn't evidence in this case sufficient to make the...
I think it's a legal issue because the statute talks about budget estimates. The circuit judge is supposed to provide the budget estimate. And an estimate by its very nature is unknown.
But they distinguish this from other estimates, saying there wasn't a history that, if they found it speculative based upon the record, because there
sure.
wasn't an adequate
They
history.
Said it was non-recurring. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, these were recurring mm-hmm. because the judge in this case and the county litigated before the JFC the prior year. And that was when the statement was made that, hey, if you don't budget for these fees, you're not going to be able to pay your attorney. And so there was a history in the prior year that the judge looked at determining putting the money in this budget for the next year. You have those type of expenses and budgets all the time. For example, construction projects. You know, sometimes they're just a one-off, yet they're in the budget. The non-recurring, and the total amount is not predictable until you have bids. So what do? You go to your engineer and get an engineering estimate. Well, the circuit judge did the same thing here. She went to her experts, the attorney who was handling this matter, and said, hey, what's your estimate for the attorney's fees? And based on her prior experience with Lincoln County, the recurring fees, and the estimate from the lawyer, she put $35,000 in the budget. I might add that Lincoln County budgets for its prospective attorney's fees, in its budget, I assume my opposing counsel is paid timely. It is intolerable in an adversarial system if you're going to allow just one of the adversaries to arm itself and not allow the other adversary to arm itself. I mean, if this court had attorneys and needed litigation, and the legislature said, well, we're not going to pay out money for that, that would be a violation of separation of powers, and that's what's going on here. The county commission refuses to believe that the circuit courts are a separate and independent governmental entity. It believes it has superintending control of the circuit courts, and that's not true. In terms of your questions about the speculative nature of these fees, as I mentioned, other circuit courts routinely put these in their budget, and they're never really questioned. The only reason to be in question here is because of statements from Lincoln County where they said, we don't want to give the circuit judge attorney's fees because we don't want her to hire lawyers to litigate against us. And again, that's intolerable. To say that Lincoln County can control how its adversary litigates against it. That's robbing the judiciary of its independence. And this issue of control, which I think is really at the heart of this case, who controls those purse strings? is the crucial distinction in this case. Lincoln County says, well, it shouldn't matter when I take money out of her left pocket or under her right pocket, but that's a false analogy. The real issue here is whether it's going to come out of the county's pocket, which the county controls, or whether it comes out of the court's pocket, which the court solely controls. The cases, the Supreme Court cases, say that once money is put into the court's budget, only the court controls it. Here, for the judge to get its GALs, its juvenile parents' attorneys, and last year the juvenile officer's attorney paid, she had to file a mandamus action. All she really needs to do is to say, hey, it's in my budget, here's the order, pay it out. But Lincoln County has refused, and why? Because it wants to control the process for that judicial function. And that is a violation of judicial independence. The Weinstein Court indicated that the circuit court should never be placed at the whim and caprice of the Lincoln County Commission. Only the circuit court should control the judicial functions and how those judicial functions are paid. If you rob the judiciary of the power to pay for what it does, the courts will no longer be independent. And I know this court has struggled with that issue in the municipal courts. Should the municipal courts be under the thumb of the Board of Aldermen, or should they be distinct and separate? And this court has rightly said they should be distinct and separate. In the same way, circuit courts must be distinct and separate from the county commissions. If there are no further questions, thank you. I see my time is expired.
Thank you.
Good morning, and may it please the court. As a quick aside, after 36 years of practice, it's nice to be introduced as a new lawyer. That hasn't happened during that time. I enjoyed it coming up. There are a number of things that I do wish to address. Learned counsel has raised. I could not disagree with him more as to what this case is about. This case is an appeal from a finding by the Judicial Finance Commission. It is nothing more than that. It is a determination that was made by Judge Mooney and other members of the commission that are appointed by you to make decisions about county budgets. That's what this is about. Lincoln County is not imposing upon the 45th Judicial Circuit anything. Lincoln County, as it is supposed to do, as it is required to do by statute, has a budget process. The budget process is one where they, who are responsible to taxpayers, who are elected by the taxpayers, have to produce a document that on a line-by-line basis says, here is what we are doing and here is why. The 45th Judicial Circuit must participate in that process. There must be a budget. There is no question about that. But each budgetary line item must be able to be explained. There must be an explanation.
Is opposing counsel correct that they have not been able to get the county to pay their legal fees without filing suit to force that?
They're not correct. And I will tell you that if you look at the history that has gone on here, we have 2015 and 2016, and now we're moving into the 2017 budget. In 2015, we went through the process, and we had a mediated settlement, which has been the source of a great deal of conversation in the briefs. But what we have is a determination that was made by Judge Mooney, where Judge Menemeyer, who was at that time represented by then-retired Judge Norton, sat down with counsel for Lincoln County, and they came up with an agreement. That agreement was reduced to writing, and that writing is signed. Now, that writing had
Has the county refused to pay their litigation expenses in the past?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. What we have tried to do, though, is to make sure that we are qualifying them as we need to qualify them. All right? So the 2015 agreement had to do with the payment of certain fees, and that 2015 agreement said, This is what we owe, and this is what we don't owe. The fees that Mr. Guinness is talking about are fees that are part of what Judge Menemeyer now claims were unpaid in 2015. They have repudiated that agreement. They have said that agreement didn't exist. In fact, they've gone so far as to suggest a fraud or a forgery. They have said she attached her signature to a blank document, and they filled in
Well, they said they attached their signature to a different document that was retyped, is what they
said. Actually, she said blank page. But she said both things. She said what I've said and what you have said at various times, depending. But that whole issue came up again in 2016, and I am getting to your question of have we refused to pay. In 2016, Judge Mooney, in his order, again restated that that was a mediated result. On the last page, he said, we're again recommending that the parties sit down and talk. And we're talking about, and he says, we did in last year's mediated settlement. So he is certainly recognizing in the 2016 finding that what was done in 2015 was paid. Now, having said that, Judge, the timing of this is extremely important, too, because as of the time when we filed the petition for review, we were paying everything that was coming forward. But there is a separate mandamus action that arises out of the 2015 agreement, all right? Now, we have not paid all the fees that are there because Judge Dowd in the trial court said, don't pay fees. There is a determination at that level saying no fees are owed for the mandamus matter. So we've got conflicting orders here, or we've got conflicting situations where the 45th Circuit is saying pay us, and Judge Dowd has said, don't pay. So getting back to it, that's where the confusion regarding payment has occurred, because in effect, and I would suggest that what the appellants have done here have brought that issue before you. We are litigating here this mandamus issue.
Can you address Presiding Commissioner Colbert's written statement where he said, in addition to the lack of historical data to support the request for fees for counsel, the court indicated its purpose in requesting the fees was to engage in action against the commission, and if in fact the court was granted a war chest with which to pursue its legal pursuits, then we would be in effect undermining the integrity of the county budget if we gave money. It sounds like he's saying we will not give you money to pay your litigation expenses.
And that's not at all what he's intending to say. What he's intending to say there is we will pay the reasonable fees. We will pay
those.
That's
not what he says there.
Well, but Judge, let me give you, in the light of what you just said, the statements that were made by counsel. He describes this as an adversarial relationship. The county is simply going through the budget process. We don't have the ability to decide what the fees will be. We only have the ability to help construct the budget. And when we disagree, we take those budget concerns to the JFC. And we've done that in 2015 and in 2016, and unfortunately I expect we'll be doing that again in 2017. And we've asked the JFC to step in and make those decisions. What the JFC has told us to do, we have done, and we will do, because we're supposed to. That's part of the process. We're not making independent decisions about whether we should pay these fees. What we're saying simply is that this is a budget process. And that brings me back to what I was saying before. They are expanding this appeal to something beyond which is before this court, which is only the question of whether the JFC, in that snapshot in time, whether the JFC made the right decision. Now, the fees that are coming afterwards and all these questions about things that are not being paid would have occurred after Judge Mooney made his ruling in this matter. So again, if we come back to what is before the court, Judge Mooney couldn't have known those things, and Judge Mooney couldn't have ruled on those things.
And so your argument is these may be issues we may deal with if the parties don't agree before the JFC. There may be a future JFC decision that addresses these issues that may or may not come up to this court, but right now we're limited to the evidence and the fees and so forth that were before the JFC back 9 months ago.
Yes, ma'am. And again, the case law says clearly that if there are existing bills that have not been addressed and paid, they can be put into the 2017 budget, and they can then be addressed and they can then be paid. All right. Now, it's interesting to note that Mr. Guinness talked about the reasonableness issue, and he raises this in his brief and says that the statutory concerns or the statutory framework is the only thing that you have to look at, which would give you a strangely arithmetical approach to what's going on here. And yet, this court, in its own opinion, issued by Judge Benton in 2004, said this, and I think this language is pertinent because it goes to the decision and it goes to the question of what is the standard of review. It says that the JFC, and I'm quoting now, I guess what would be page 467, the reasonableness of the circuit's estimate has to be evaluated by, quote, the discrete and concrete elements proposed for it through which the item is given meaning. So again, there has to be something articulated that's going to justify this budget line expense, because as we started out by saying, the commission in Lincoln County is responsible to taxpayers and is responsible for a budget. If the circuit court can't explain why they want this money, then it is unreasonable to grant this money. And that's what Judge Mooney looked at. And when you look at Judge Mooney's order, his order makes it clear that I considered the things that they said. In fact, one of the things that they raised was this issue about a possibility of a lawsuit with the sheriff's office. But Judge Mooney pointed out, when they came in with this budget item, they didn't say that. That was something that arose after the fact. We've got a snapshot in time. We've got a budget process that has to be done within a certain time. We're deciding budget issues within that time frame. Can the 45th Circuit come back later and say, oh, but there's other things that we thought of? Well, sure. And can we now, in hindsight, say, yes, there have been additional bills, and certainly there have been. Can we now, in hindsight, go back and say, well, that meant that the decision in the first place was reasonable? No, because that's not information that Judge Mooney and the commission would have had in front of them. So again, if you look at the duties that they've been given, if you look at the context in which they have to act, you have to review that decision in that context and with what was known to him. Now, in terms of where we're going and in terms of what these fees might mean, again, I would point out to the court that this mandamus action is a troubling action because we went to the JFC. We played according to the rules. We did what we were supposed to do. You, in your language and in the statutory language regarding the creation of the JFC, says, start by mediating. We want you to mediate this. And we've done that. Now, again, in this particular matter, there's a suggestion that there was an unresolved question regarding GALs and whether or not the court had control over the GALs. And yet Judge Mooney said, we mediated all parts of this in the 2016, and the only issue left was this $35,000 question. He also, as I pointed out to you previously, said, hey, we settled the 2015 in a mediated agreement.
And that's not a part of this appeal.
It's not. No, ma'am, it's not. So again, but I would suggest to you that the appellant is attempting to make it so. And if we're talking about fees related to that, there is a source of revenue for that. And if the court in the mandamus action determines fees are due, we will pay those fees. But that's the question that has to be decided by that court. That's a remedy that's dealt with by that court. If it's a meritless claim, why would there be fees? Why should we fund meritless claims? These are tax dollars. No one wants to spend money needlessly. Now, again, this all comes down to that repudiation of that agreement. In the brief that has been filed by the appellants in this matter, they have suggested that somehow or another, the original determination is in place because the county commission did not appeal the 2015 ruling.
Let me clarify what you just said.
Yes, ma'am.
You just said if the circuit court has a claim and they don't prevail on that claim, then the county shouldn't have to pay their fees.
No, ma'am. I'm just talking about in this mandamus action. So that's not a broad rule that I'm trying to apply. Because, again, I think that there are situations where, again, they have a duty and a right to go forward with those things. So I'm not making that as a blanket rule. I'm talking about this is fact-specific to this particular matter. And that's what Judge Dowd ruled on. And Judge Dowd, as the trial court, and that's what's on appeal now before the Court of Appeals, has said there should be no attorney's fees granted in this matter, even though they were requested. Now, again, that stood in direct contradiction to what Judge Mooney had said, but we paid what Judge Mooney said to pay. We didn't say, Judge Dowd said done. So again, I will come back to, this is not a question of control. This is a question of what the JFC is supposed to do. This is an appeal from the JFC. This is not about a challenge to the judiciary and the independence of the judiciary. This is about following rules, and we have followed those rules. If the 45th Judicial Circuit cannot articulate a reason in the budgetary process for the award of these fees, and Judge Mooney says that, they didn't give me anything. It's simply speculative.
Can you just, what remedy would the court have if, as it alleges, which I know you deny, there was a situation where the money was in the county budget and not in the court's budget, and the county tried to use that as leverage to say, we're not going to pay your fees unless you do X, Y, and Z, and therefore to control the discretionary decisions of the circuit court as a court.
There would certainly be a mandamus action. There's actions that could be taken independently, judicial actions that could be taken independently. There would always be a remedy judge for something like that. But that hasn't happened here. That hasn't happened here. Now, there have been disputes over these things. But again, let's say that there were unpaid fees after the fact. Again, the budget process, which occurs every year, is still a place where they could go and say, we want these things paid. That could then be put into the budget and paid. This isn't about refusing to pay. This isn't about somehow denying the court's authority or independence. This is about coming forward with reasonable justifications and explanations. That's our position in this matter. But again, the other part of that, Judge, is this suggestion that somehow we've said no. We've done everything as we're supposed to do it. We've gone to the JFC each year. We have, in good faith, mediated at these meetings. What more can we do? What more can we do? So I'm asking that the court make a determination that Judge Mooney was appropriate, that the budgetary issues be resolved as they were set forth in the 2016 budget discussions, and that they be upheld in the decision that was made by the JFC. If there are no further questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What more can Lincoln County do? It can pay monies from the court's budget on the court's instruction, because that's what the law requires. What Mr. Brunrader just said is that before the county will honor those instructions, the circuit court must litigate. And that's not how a circuit court should be expending money in its own budget. Now, Mr. Brunrader said there was a snapshot in the JFC. Well, the JFC determined that $8,600 of the legal fees that the circuit court had incurred in the mandamus action up to the end of March was reasonable, and those type of expenditures are reasonable. But the record is clear that that litigation was continuing beyond that date. So if those fees in the past, that first part of the year, are reasonable, certainly legal fees coming thereafter in that same lawsuit are reasonable. But unless they're in the court's budget, the court can't pay them out. And how do we know that? Because the court has submitted those bills to the county, and the county has refused to pay them, saying, hey,
and why is any of that before us here? Why aren't we just looking at the record up to the date of the JFC decision, since that's what's on appeal to us?
Because these budgets are supposed to be prospective. They're supposed to be an estimate of the cost for the entire year. So the question is, you never look at a budget when it's first formed to see if it actually played out, because you can't look into the future. If that is the analysis to be used,
what are we reviewing? The JFC decision?
The JFC decision.
Do we normally estimate for the entire year? I understand, but we normally look at what was before the JFC, then at the time they made their decision and decide if it was reasonable. But you're saying we should look at what happened later because it helps you show it was not reasonable. But we're reviewing the decision they made at that time, aren't we?
Right.
What is our authority to look at what happened later?
Because you can never show before the JFC things that happened for the rest of the year. This is a budget estimate for the entire year. So you have to say, at the time, the record below, was this estimate that the court put together reasonable for what it expected for the entire year? And given what the court had done the prior year, and the amounts it incurred so far that year, an estimate for the future expenditures for that year was reasonable.
But the JFC frames the issue as the parties dispute the reasonableness of the $35,000 requested by the circuit court for legal fees. And then their conclusion is that $8,475 of that was reasonable and orders that to be paid by the be paid to the circuit court, but says the commission finds unreasonable the remaining $26,000. So isn't that how they frame the issues? Isn't that what we're reviewing?
Correct, and they're incorrect because they don't account for what was going to happen in the future. The budget estimate has to be judged as a reasonable number based on the entire year's expenditures. If my budget says I'm going to buy 100 reams of paper, and before the JFC, which happens in the early part of the year, you've only bought 3 reams.
But your opponent says that those kind of expenses could be carried over to the next budget year and could be requested then. And then if you can't resolve that matter, it could come back to the JFC.
Exactly.
In another proceeding.
Exactly. And that's the harm here. Does the court have to wait an entire year or more to hire a lawyer to address important issues? For example, the sheriff's fee. If the sheriff had continued to not serve those writs. The court could not summon juries for a year before it could hire a lawyer and litigate this issue. And that's why you have a budget, to deal with these things that are probably going to occur so you can pay them out as they occur. I see my time is up. Thank you.
Thank you. Case will be submitted.
We have submitted a motion for attorney's fees on appeal.